The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. Truth is, it's really afternoon. This evening we have the Priority One annual dinner, and therefore not going to be able to do this live. Hope to see in person in live a lot of you there. Also, this is the last of the series for the summer break. So certainly appreciate all of those who have joined us, and hope that it was somewhat beneficial. Wanted to speak for a few moments about probably the number one item on the list of causes or relative factors in the problems that we find with our kids today, and that is pressure. I'm not talking so much about the pressure of homework and schoolwork, which is sometimes very, very extensive and overwhelming. I'm talking about the religious pressure that exists in our communities. If you take a kid who is intelligent and really gets the extent of the expectations and demands and heights of achievement and extensive responsibility of a life of Torah mitzvahs, and is also sensitive and feels the difference between right and wrong and falling short of appropriate expectations, not living up to the appropriate standards. And that in itself is a source of enormous pressure, because he feels everything emotionally. He can foresee the full extent and ramifications because of his vast intelligence, and together it's a combination for accentuating and maybe sometimes becoming overwhelmed with pressure. Add to that, as we find so many of our children are today, a touch of perfectionism, whether we as parents are instigating or inspiring or triggering that perfectionism, whether it's other factors in their lives, whether it's genetic. There's a lot of kids today who are somewhat perfectionistic in their tendencies. That adds to it just another sense of burden of the of how good it has to be, and how perfect it has to be, and how total it has to be, and how consistent it has to be. It's a formula for a lot of pressure, and pressure sometimes is a formula for trouble. I think that the issue sometimes is so overwhelming that many of our children find it too hot in the kitchen and they just run. And some of them tend to block out all of the pressure. Some of them tend to ignore it, block it out, ignore it. Some of them tend to rebel against it. And some even tend to deny it, because that's really the only way that under such pressure and with such, especially with perfectionism, that they can deal with it, is if they become perfectly not good, or perfectly just pretend it doesn't exist, or fight its existence, or deny its existence. And most and many of the things that we've discussed can certainly be helpful in this process. But I'd like to explore another line that I think can be very helpful in this process. Even if not for the religious pressures, this line of thinking, line of connection, is very important. And kol shekein, how much more so when we face the phenomenon of religious pressure. And that is the concept of a positive relationship with Hashem, and the inspiration to a sense of bitochon and trust that we can place in Him. If we have this trusting relationship with our Creator, if we appreciate the dynamics of that relation, if they can be guided into the dynamics of that relationship, and to appreciate the benefits of that relationship, benefits not only in warmth and in comfort and in closeness and sense of meaning in life in that closeness of relationship, but also in terms of the benefits that it brings in terms of the achievements and the fulfillment of the desires of my heart, the things that I want, that type of an appreciation can offer almost an alternative to the pressure / perfectionism that might be found in some of our children. And let me explain. One of the most amazing things is that it seems that as we approach the Yom HaDin, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, there seem to be two tracks with which a person stands to face the judgment. And those are delineated in Tehillim in Kapitel Lamed Gimel. Ranenu Tzadikim Hashem, we say it every Shabbos morning. And it, in the middle there, the Pasuk says, Hayotzer Yachad Libom HaMevin El Kol Maaseim. The Yotzer, the Creator, takes together the hearts of everyone and delves into each one's actions. And the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that from this Pasuk we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah judges his whole world, Biskira Achas. Together he takes everyone, sees into each one's heart at the same moment, and understands everything that's going on. Well, this is a description, this Pasuk, of the Yom HaDin, of the Day of Judgment. And the Pasuk continues, the king with his great armies, his vast armies, are not going to save him. The strong people with their strength. The horses, and the great artillery that he may have is not going to help him. The eye, the good eye, the favorable eye of Hashem is to those who fear him, is upon those who fear him. And then the Pasuk says, Lamiyachalim Lachasto, and the Chofetz Chaim is Medayik, not Hamiyachalim Lachasto, the fear him, those who fear him, who are the ones who trust him. But rather, he says there's two categories. There's Yireov, those stand to do well in the din, and then there's a Miyachalim Lachasto, those who await his kindness, who put their trust in his kindness, even though they're not necessarily Yireov. And what happens to them? He saves them from death. He sustains them in hunger. And we say we're going to get involved in that bitochon in Hashem. The Hashem should be upon us to the degree that we've put our bitochon in Him. It sounds like there's two approaches. Both are very significant. One is the approach of tshuva and Yerushamayim and being able to be worthy of a positive judgment. The other one seems to be that one who has that positive relationship with Hashem. He's Miyachalim Lachasto. I trust Hashem. I know how much He loves us, even if we make mistakes. I know His chesed. I know His rachamim. I know the full gamut of His concern and care and sensitivity to all the issues that confront us and to do for us kindness and chesed and rachamim. And that inspires me emotionally to trust Him. I'm awaiting His kindness. I'm just counting on His kindness. I just sense, I may not be worthy of a favorable judgment, but I just, something within me just tells me He's not going to let me down. And that's a power that works, that allows the saving and the sustaining and so forth, and it works. And they both work. This is the reason I believe the Machaber, the Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, we mistaprim, megalchin, misrachatzim, all of these things we do to prepare ourselves to show that we trust in the Yom HaDin. We're not afraid. We're acting like it's a yontif, because it's not fear. It's a sense of bitochon, trust in the kindness of Hashem that He's going to save us, going to help us. And I think that it's very important to instill in our children from the youngest ages this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's such a thing as trusting Hashem, and to the degree that we put our trust in Him, it's to that degree that it helps to achieve what we want. Just as tefillah is never always immediate in its response, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although every tefillah, no tefillah goes wasted, as we've discussed here, but the results, oftentimes the answer is not now, not yet. In bitochon, it takes time too. First of all, it takes time to muster a real positive sense of truth and not to fool oneself. It's easy to fool oneself. I bitochon, 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 but push comes to shove, I'm scared stiff and I don't really feel that. But it's something that if we develop, it can be so powerful. It gives us a menuchas hanefesh, a sense of peace of mind. And it gives me a sense of confidence in my relationship with Hashem, that even if I feel that in my religious observances I fall short, and I haven't perfected myself, and I haven't achieved the heights that are expected of me, And I
know that, you know, especially a perfectionist, I'll never achieve that. But I have a relationship. It's a different situation. I may not be the perfect son, I may not be the perfect servant, but we got this special relationship that he's so kind, he's so loving, he cares so much, and I trust him. And of course we have to learn that even when things seem to be negative, and there's a lot of difficulty in life, we have to learn that everything Hashem does is for the good. I call Madav Rachman Tavovit. And even the difficult things to understand, we can't understand everything, we don't know everything, but we have to know that Hashem is committed to our chesed. And to the degree, the Meiri says it very succinctly, he says, the one who puts his trust in Hashem, his hope will not be disappointed. I have this relationship. I can rely on him. The more I rely on him, the more it makes a difference. And when a person can feel this, when a child can feel this, it takes away so much of the, it counters so much of the pressure, because even if I don't succeed in fulfilling the fullness of the pressures and responsibilities upon me, but I got this special relationship that I can count on, sort of, and maybe I can come on the Yom HaDin and I can say, you know something, I really fell short. Ein Hashem el Yireyov, maybe I'm lacking in Yirei Hashem, but Miyachalim Lachaste, but I have this relationship with you. I'm so confident how much you love me and how much you care and all of your chesed that I'm just like hoping and waiting and I'm not, I know you're not going to disappoint me. I know you're not going to let me down. I know you're not, Elokai b'chol b'tachti alei v'yisha. I trust in you. I'm not going to be embarrassed. And this can sometimes ease the pain of the pressure. Truth of the matter is, and we certainly don't advocate this, and we can't advocate this, but there is a, Chazal say, it's a medrash. The medrash says on the posuk, Rabbi machoivim l'rosho, v'habateach b'Hashem, chesed yisoivavenu. Afilu, so great, the posuk means great are the pains that the rosho undergoes, but one, the one who puts his trust in Hashem, chesed, kindness will surround him, and Chazal say, afilu rosho, medrash, the medrash, afilu rosho, ubeteach b'Hashem, chesed yisoivavenu. Even a rosho, a wicked person, but he trusts Hashem, kindness will surround him. Bitochen works even for a person who is not a tzaddik, who is not worthy, but it's not working with worth. It's working with trust. It's working with an emotion. It's working with a connection. It's working with love. It's working with relationship. It's working with chesed Hashem and rachamim and Hashem's awareness of everything I'm going through. Now, especially the people who usually find the pressure of the Yiddishkeit too much, there's something else going on too, whether it's this perfectionism that's overwhelming them, whether they're having certain difficulties and they're not matzliach, so memela, they feel not only can they not be perfect, but they can't even succeed. Maybe it's some trauma that's going on in their lives, maybe it's some traumatic event that took place and is haunting them, but there are many things that lead them to just be overwhelmed with the pressure. The pressure connects with a lot of other circumstances which make life difficult for them. And if they can realize that, you know, this is a relationship with Hashem, even if I'm not worthy of anything, and I because of everything upon me and all the difficulties, I fall short, but I know I have this connection with Hashem. I know that I have this ability to trust His love, His kindness, His caring, His chesed, and that gives me menuchas hanefesh, gives me peace of mind. It gives me a sense of confidence in getting the benefits of life, even if I don't deserve them. And that, by the way, is what a lot of people are very nervous about. If they know that there's schar ve'onesh, and they know that you're expected to act in such a way, and if you're falling short, that you're not going to get what you want, and they walk around not only with the pressure of feeling religiously short, but with the pressure of feeling that I'm not going to get anything that I want, and I'm going to be on that favorable judgment, I'm going to have to suffer, I'm going to have difficulties, life is going to get even worse as it goes on. And these things are overwhelming, especially to an intelligent and sensitive kid. You say, no, yes, the trust in Hashem. And the trust in Hashem has to be developed, implanted before the problems begin. In the earliest stages of life, kids have to begin to realize that Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem is involved in our life. Stories of Hashgacha Pratis inspire trust of Hashem. Chizuk and Emuna, and knowing the truth of Torah Misinai, inspire trust in Hashem. And Tefillah, appreciation of Tefillah, inspires trust in Hashem. An understanding of what it means to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much He loves us and how much we should in turn love Him, how much chesed He's done, that the purpose of the whole creation is only to do chesed, therefore what He really wants to do, the purpose He put us here in the first place is only chesed, and therefore we can begin to rely more and more on His chesed. It's an emotional feeling, it isn't a rational thing, because a person doesn't know that they're deservant of Hashem's chesed, but even if I'm not deservant, I just emotionally feel confident and comfortable in that relationship. It gives me a hope. I guess Bitochen really starts as a hope. If you lose hope, it's all over. If you're meyayish, then there's a hope, and that hope leads to a little bit more awaiting, miyachal, and then it leads to a more even trusting and assurance, feeling emotionally sure that it's going to work out. Not only is it going to be for the good, which in itself is a tremendous thing, everything Hashem does for the good, and I feel that emotionally, but I'm even confident emotionally that things are going to work out for me, He's going to help me, and that sense of bitochen forges such a positive relationship with Hashem that it gives me the strength. You know, I may have mentioned here recently what the Mefarshim say by Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem Lo Yisis Goydedu. Even if you lose a close relative, don't overly mourn, because you have a relationship that's even greater than that relationship, and that's our relationship with Hashem. We can appreciate that relationship. Our children can learn to feel that relationship. It becomes a reality in their lives. And when Hashem's chesed becomes a reality in their lives, then everything He does is chesed. I see His hashkocha. I see all the little miracles that take place. I understand the great miracles of our history. I understand the miracle of Jewish survival to this day, which is the greatest of all miracles. And I understand everything that takes place in our day, in our daily existence, in its miraculous form. And I appreciate all the gifts of life as miracles and chesed from Hashem. Then eventually I inspire myself to be able to trust in Him. And that trust can ease the pain and the pressure of the religious overwhelming feeling, and help people to feel a menuchas hanefesh, and not to feel the sharpness of that pain of religious responsibility and maybe falling short in the fullness of that accomplishment. Just another thing I would like to mention, and that is that besides all of that, there is a level of accomplishment. I may have mentioned it a few weeks ago in one of these shiurim from the Sipurnu in Parshas Bechukosai, where he says that if a person does mitzvahs and he elevates himself spiritually and he studies Torah and he internalizes its message and its purpose and he eventually perfects to a great extent his tzelem elikim, he becomes godly, then the next step is that he wants to do mitzvahs because of his own godliness, rather than because so much because of the pressure. It's almost like it becomes natural. The will of Hashem is my will because I'm godly and I'm like Him and I have this special connection with Him, and therefore I just want to do it because that's what I am and I want to do it. I think that our children, even though that's the highest of levels, with a sense of relationship with Hashem, can also develop a certain feeling of, I just want to do mitzvahs. I know I'm obligated, but it's not all about obligation. It's also about relationship. It's also about appreciation of His kindness. And in return for His kindness, I want to do. If part of the relationship is that Hashem grants me the things that I am relying on Him to do, then I would want to reciprocate in that relationship and grant Him the kinds of things that He's counting on me to do, because He wants to give me schar. And He's only counting on me to do it for my benefit, not for His. I'm counting on it in a sense for my benefit, but He's only for my benefit, not for His personal benefit, but yet I have a trusting relationship. I put my trust in Him. He's trusting me, and He's therefore giving me these opportunities. I want to pay back. I want to express that appreciation. So it makes the mitzvahs easier. Rashi says in Shir HaShirim, so Rashi says a very bizarre thing. He says, all of his needs He only asked for me and not from any other nation. It's Hashem speaking about his relationship with Klal Yisrael. He says, didn't ask any other nation to bring a Korban Pesach, didn't ask them to bring Korbonos, only me. And I ask all my needs of him. It's a reciprocal relationship. Very bizarre. Hashem has no needs. What's Rashi saying? What Chazal tried to teach us? So the Pshat Vaislis is that, of course Hashem has no needs, but he gives me mitzvah so I can feel that I'm paying him back. The mitzvahs become not the burden of obligation and of overwhelming pressure, but they become acts of love that, you know, we have this special relationship. He only asks of me, and his needs of me, and I'll get my needs from him. I don't ask anyone else, so we have this relationship. So just as I ask from him, and I expect him to perform and respond, I have an opportunity to do for him. He allows us to think as if the mitzvahs that he gave us to do for our own benefit are really benefiting him. So in a sense, I'm paying him back. It's not just about the burden and the pressure. It's about the exhilarating opportunity to repay Hashem for his kindness to me, and that also is a factor that eases the pain. I think in dealing with bitochen, our children have to become acutely aware that it has to be real. Bitochen doesn't mean I say, the Chazon Ish uses a lashon, I sing the song of bitochen. It's not a song, it's not an act. It's a feeling in the heart. It's a trust. It's a confidence. It's an unswerving sense of assuredness that things are going to be good. He's going to help me. Hashem, everything he does is for the good, and Hashem really cares, and he's full of chesed. And I take it to the extent that I'm even confident that things are going to turn out all right. And I believe that that's what it means. The Chazon Ish, the beginning, some people read a little differently, but it sounds like he means that we may not be obligated, the toast is that it's kechoyv alaham, and we may not be obligated to reach that level, but there is such a level, and on a certain level we can reach it, on a modest level, at least a sense of trust, and our children, but when they get to that, they have to also realize that it has to be real. And that's the famous story from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter with the lottery ticket that somebody said he needed $10,000, whatever, ruble. And he says, if you have 100% bitochen, buy a lottery ticket, and you'll win. The guy bought the ticket. He says he had 100% bitochen, and weeks and weeks went by. He still didn't win the 10,000 ruble. Comes back to Rabbi Yisrael, and he says, I have bitochen 100%. That doesn't work. He says, you still have bitochen 100% that you're going to get the 10,000 ruble? He says, yeah. He says, will you sell me the ticket for 5,000 ruble? He says, yeah, sure. Had you had real bitochen, you wouldn't sell it for a penny less. So you have to realize it has to be real. It's an avoido. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. It isn't instantaneous. It isn't automatic, but it's a reality. Our relationship with Hashem can be fulfilling, can be meaningful, can be exhilarating, can be warm, can be uplifting, can be comforting, it can be dramatic, can be dynamic, can engender a sense of confidence and menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind, and not to worry about anything. And if I can parallel this as the Ein Hashem El Yireov, as I'm developing the Yirah Shamayim of my children, I could also parallel them with the Meyachalim L'chastoy, with this sense of the Chesed Hashem, and the sense of the kindness of Hashem. This can go a long way. And of course, in order to really experience this sense of bitochen, it's critical that a person has to develop his own midas hachesed, his own midas of trust, his own midas of patience, all of the midas that are needed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order for us to trust him as his chesed, as his rachamim, as his emes, his truthfulness, as his reliability, as his patience with us when we err. All of these midas are needed in us, otherwise we can't imagine them in him. And that's why, it's another reason why the Tikkun HaMidas is so relevant. The Goyin says in one place in Lav, Tikkun HaMidas lo mali chayim. He says, if not for improving all my midas, what's the purpose of my life? And then he writes, the Iker Nesinas HaTorah LeYisrael was Kedei She'yiftachu B'Hashem. The Iker of Kabbalah HaTorah that he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael was that we should be inspired and trust. It sounds like I need both. That the Tikkun HaMidas, when I emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I develop my Tzelem Elokim to model myself after the perfection of Hashem in all of His midos, then I can begin to trust Him more too. I can have that bitochen because I know what chesed is. The surefire way to know
a liar is one who cannot believe that you're telling the truth. If he can't believe you could be telling the truth, he must be a liar because he doesn't understand what truth is. The more we understand truth, chesed and rachamim and savlonus and all of these midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more we feel them, not just understand them intellectually. Haskel v'yodeo isi, ki ani Hashem yisa chesed, mishpot utzloko, kibeilu chofatzti. I imbibe them in myself, and then I can emulate Hashem. And the more I am enlightened to Hashem, the more I'm ready to put my trust in Him and to realize that He can, in fact, help me with everything. I think developing this system from an early age of appreciation of bitochen and growing the child with it can sometimes reduce a lot of pressure directly and maybe in some of the indirect ways that we mentioned as well, and can offer a parallel system of relating to Hashem, one that can counterbalance a lot of the pressures and overwhelming feelings that sometimes our children may have in their pursuit of Avodas Hashem. Once again, this is the last session for this year. Appreciate everybody's participation, and we look forward to further sessions in the future.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.